This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. It's been a few weeks since I posted my last episode. No real reason for that, except I had nothing to say. And when I have nothing to say, I find it best to say nothing. During these weeks, I have been interviewed on a couple of podcasts, and I did a couple of one-on-one Zoom calls, and I have also received and answered quite a few emails. And I have been reflecting on these conversations recently. There's one thing that I keep coming back to, and that is the inability of me, or anyone else for that matter, to communicate the nature and the experience of this unitive reality that Jesus called the Kingdom of God. Most of us just call God or the divine or the one or reality or something along those lines. As much as I try, there's no way to communicate this very well. I find it amazingly difficult even to point to it. You know, I read the Gospels and Jesus pointed to it so well in his unique way for his time and place, but I struggle to do the same sort of thing, to point to this, except in a very awkward manner. People email me questions. Sometimes they're very lengthy and complex questions. They're always very sincere and thoughtful questions. And a lot of the time, intense and emotional questions. People are struggling to apprehend or comprehend this non-dual reality. They're struggling to get their idea of what non-duality is to fit the evidence that they have seen and they have read about. And always behind the questions is the assumption that somehow it should all make sense, that there is a clear and simple answer to the difficult questions about the meaning and purpose of life and the universe. Now, I respect these questions very much, and I respect the people that ask these questions very much, but the hard truth is that there are no answers, at least not the kind of answers that people are looking for. People are looking for a worldview, something they can hold in their heads that will make sense of everything, but reality is not like that. It is beyond the mind, and as I often said, this is the literal meaning of the biblical word translated repentance in the New Testament. This is beyond the ability of the human psyche to comprehend. That means there are no logical solutions to problems like the problem of evil and suffering and the meaning and purpose of our lives in the universe. There's no answer to that question why, at least not an answer that can be framed in words. But when reality is seen and known from the inside, then it is seen to make sense in an intuitive way. I often point people to the book of Job in the Old Testament. It describes this better than any other. It is one of my favorite books, along with another Old Testament wisdom book, Ecclesiastes. Job is a person who asked all the hard questions. He was insistent and relentless in his search, and he would not take the silence of God for an answer. He also did not accept the theological answers provided by his religious friends, who are given the names Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Later on, near the end of the book, another guy, Elihu, comes in also. These are religious people who think they have it all figured out, like so many religious people today. And these people thought they had the cause of suffering and evil figured out. They said it's all a matter of cause and effect. You reap what you sow. Old Testament scholars call this the Deuteronomic philosophy of history. It is the Western biblical equivalent to what Eastern religions call karma. People think, East and West, think that karma explains it all. And when it was realized somewhere along history that it didn't explain everything that happened in this lifetime, then they pushed this whole cycle of cause and effect back into a previous lifetime. That's just kicking the can down the road. When you push it into a past lifetime or lifetimes, then that makes it impossible to prove or to disprove. Because one can never know exactly what one did in a previous lifetime to cause what is happening in this lifetime. The Buddha did not buy that. I don't buy it. Job didn't buy the Hebrew equivalent of karma in his time. It just is too much of a pat answer that does not hold up to scrutiny. In his time, Job would have none of it. It did not make sense to him. He would not accept it simply on faith or based on religious tradition and authority or what his friends said were their personal experience. It wasn't his experience. He didn't buy it. That's why I love Job. He was always the skeptic. He refused all the answers of the religion of his time, just like the preacher of Ecclesiastes did. In the end, that refusal to sell one's mind to a religious system bore fruit. Job persisted until God showed his face. What did God say to Job? God did not give any answers to all these questions that Job had asked. Instead, God provided only more questions, question after question after question. And the result of this divine questioning was a direct encounter with the divine in which Job experienced a reality that he had been searching for through all his questions. Job did not receive any logical answers that could be put into words at the end of the book. But he knew firsthand the answer, capital A. He knew the one, capital O, that transcended and dispelled all questions and answers. The problem with spiritual seekers is that they're in their heads. They think that what they are looking for is answers to questions in their heads. But ultimately, there are no answers to the questions in our heads. Now, maybe we can deceive ourselves and convince ourselves for a while that the stock answers provided by our religious tradition is true. But if we are honest with ourselves, we will eventually find out that they are not sufficient. And only when we come to the end of the need to ask questions and to have answers do we paradoxically find, or really actually become one with, the answer, capital A again, the reality that transcends questions and answers. Questions and answers just drop away. There's no longer a need for them in the presence. We see that all of our questions were really ways that we invented to put off coming to grips with truth. Another way of saying this is that all religious answers are seen to be false in the light of ultimate truth, ultimate reality. All religious and spiritual systems, with all of their in-group language, their complex terminology that you have to learn to become one of the group, are just clever ways that the ego has developed to avoid its own death, which is the necessary prerequisite for truth. The ego wants to have something to hold on to. And if it can't hold on to worldly things, then it will have spiritual things. And then it will spend its years trying to convince itself and others that its spiritual understanding and interpretation is the truth. And all those other religions and all those other schools of thought and philosophies are false. And so religions divide into sects and schools and traditions and denominations, all following their own founders and their own teachers. It's all a huge spiritual ego trap. Truth is not in our head. It cannot be understood with the mind. It cannot be communicated with words. That means that the most direct path is to get out of our heads. Don't let our minds control the process. All we need to do is lay aside our minds for the briefest of moments and notice the reality that is always present here and now. That reality is the unspoken answer to all questions. I cannot give anyone any answers. And that's why I do not call myself a spiritual teacher, because no one can teach this. The most anyone can do is discourage people from wasting their time. In one sense, all I can do is point, but even that is not really accurate. For how can one point to something that is not apart from you, from where one already is and what one already is? It's a more of a matter of saying no, no, no. Neti neti, as the Sanskrit says. You point out what it's not, hoping that people will get worn out with coming up with new strategies, ideas for what is, and just notice what is always only here now. That's enough talking about what cannot be talked about. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.